thought about that song that we just sang. When the devil comes and knocking, showing me an easier way. That's what he does. He doesn't show you, don't go this way. Don't go the way of salvation. He doesn't say that to certain people. Because he knows that that's not going to work. He knows that the majority of us here, he's not going to say, just go out in the sin and do whatever you want to do. He's going to say, there's an easier way for you to get to heaven. But here's the problem. The devil's never been there. And he doesn't know the way. Jesus is the way. So we've got to be faithful to the Lord and faithful to ourselves as well. May the Lord help us. We want to talk today about failure. If we were going to give a title to this discourse, it would be The Blessing in Failure. And failure is something that every person has had. We've been disappointed in maybe some of the things that we have done. And I'm not talking about failure in a spiritual sense where we fail to live a righteous and a holy life. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about more, and in some ways we'll deal with that as well, but some things that we just may have been disappointed in ourselves and how the Lord would have us to address those things and deal with them. I think in one way, probably the most blessed failure, you might say, if you're looking at it from the outside, and we've used this example on many occasions, is the crucifixion. It would look like having Jesus up on the cross, and the devil has finally killed what he knows to be the Son of God. Even though the people that were there that were killing Jesus, they didn't quite understand what they were doing to the level that the devil knew. But the devil, the spirits of hell, had a clear understanding that this was the Son of God. And if I got him, I'd do just like I did Adam. If I get him, I have control over these people. And if I get Jesus, then there is no hope. And I know that. He knows that. And so it looks like what was a failure was actually the thing. There was a hidden wisdom in that. There was something that the Lord used and turned for the good of mankind in what appeared to be, first of all, a failure. The God of all heaven could not keep His Son from dying on a cruel cross that way. But there was a wisdom in what seemed like, to the people on the outside, a failure of what Jesus Christ, here the devil has conquered Him. But now we're saved today. We're living the kind of a life of the victory in our lives today simply because of Jesus. Simply because of this crucifixion. So we want to deal with that a little bit here. And we see also in failure, one of the things that I notice that happens when a person is disappointed and things happen in their lives that they are not completely satisfied with, there is something about it that if we allow it to, it will balance us out and it will help us to see things in a more balanced light. Sometimes we get a little bit exalted in ourselves, and sometimes we feel that we can do things that we cannot do. And when we have this catastrophic failure, then we're so disappointed. But if we will allow the Lord to use those things, then we can allow that failure to be a blessing. The scripture, the song that we sing sometimes says, press on and let thy failings a blessing to thee prove. You've got to allow it to happen like that. We're going to deal a little bit with a few other individuals in the scriptures that had what you might call catastrophes. Let's go to the 26th chapter of Matthew. Let's start at the, let's see, I don't have it here, the 26th chapter of Matthew is in 30, somewhere around the 30th verses. 31st verse. Hold on. Let me find that because that's not... Yeah, 30.
26 and 30. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then said Jesus
yes.
unto them,
yes.
All ye shall be offended because of me this night.
All ye shall be offended because of me this night.
For it is written,
for it is written,
I will smite the shepherd,
and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee.
Peter answered and
said unto him, though all men should be offended of thee because of thee, yet will I never be offended.
Jesus said unto him,
verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise said all the disciples. So here is a situation that Jesus could look into, men and women that were men basically in this situation, that were just like you and I, determined to live for the Lord. These are people that had been with the Lord for the last 3 years or so, and he was about ready to go to the cross. And these were individuals that had been with him, that he had taught them, that they had been slept with him, they had eaten with him, they had played, so to speak, with him, and all those had leisure time, and had good fellowship with the Lord. And these individuals had in their mind, I know there's something special about him. I believe that he's the Son of God. That's what Peter said, thou art the Son of God. And he said, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. So these are individuals that had a clear understanding that Jesus Christ was something special. And he said, you know what? Something's getting ready to happen. You're going to go through a trial today that you really are. You're all going to be offended because of me this night. And yet Peter, I believe in one way, all of them listened to him. Now you can take into consideration all of us as Jesus' disciples. And he's sitting here talking to us, and he says, there's something that's coming up on you that is going to happen tonight, and you're going to be offended because of your stand for me. You're going to be offended because you are a saint of God, that you're a Christian, that you stand for what's right. There are going to be those that are going to come against you, and you're going to be offended, and you're going to fall as a result of that. You're going to have a stumble as a result of that. And they say, no, that's not going to happen. You know, when Jesus says something, it is up to us to believe what he's going to say. And so what we should do at those times when the Lord says, you don't have quite what you think you have. And all of us probably have been in situations where we thought we had more spiritual stamina, more spiritual strength, more the ability to stand strong in the midst of the trial than what we had. And when we found out we were in the midst of the trial, we found out we didn't quite have what we thought we had on hand. The Lord is bringing this out, and what He wants you and I to understand is that there are going to be some of those times in your life, and when the Lord gives you that little whisper and He says, you need more of the grace of God, you need to be able, you need more of my power in your life, our responsibility is to find a place of prayer and go to prayer and say, Lord, give me what I need. I believe if those disciples that could see into the future like Jesus did, then they would have asked Him at that time, Lord, I believe what you're saying. I need some help in my soul, and I need you to give me the power not to be offended of you that night. But they had in their own mind the thought that I'm not going to be offended. And Peter is the spokesman here. He's very vehement. One of the scriptures I believe in Luke speaks about, he vehemently said, Lord, you got this all wrong. That's not going to happen between you and me. I'm not going to be offended. I'll die with you. I'll do all. And all the disciples said the same thing. But the Lord said to Peter, he said, before the cock crows three times, you're going to not deny me three times. The Lord knows what He's talking about, doesn't He? So it is our responsibility, Lord, help me to live this life where I don't have these kinds of failures. I don't want them. And so the Lord in this message is saying to us, somebody is getting ready to go through something, and you need a little bit more on hand than the level of confidence that you have. And so what I want you to understand is that my grace is sufficient for you, whatever trial that it is that you're going through. You don't have to fall. You don't have to fail. You don't have to fail the Lord. And so here what we have is the disciples that are coming to the Lord, and they're telling the Lord, no, that's not going to happen. Let's find out if it happened or not. All right? Let's go drop down to the 55th verse.
In that same hour,
Jesus to the multitude. Now, wait. Let's go back. Let's go to... this is when he was in the garden and they were coming to get him. Let's get a little bit more of this. Let's go to 47.
And while he yet spake...
Lo,
Judas,
one of the twelve, came...
And with him a great multitude
with swords and staves
from
the chief priests and elders of the people.
Now he that betrayed him
gave them a sign, saying,
Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said,
Hail, Master,
and
kissed him, the betrayal. All right?
And Jesus said unto him,
Friend,
wherefore
thou thou come?
Then came they
and laid hands on Jesus and took him.
And behold, one of them with Jesus
stretched out his hand, drew his sword, and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear.
Then said Jesus unto him,
Put up again thy sword into its place, for all that take the sword shall perish by the sword.
Thinkest thou
that I cannot pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how shall the scripture be fulfilled that thus said it must be?
In that same hour,
said Jesus to the multitude,
"Are
you come out against a thief with swords and staves
to take me?
I sat daily with you teaching in the temple,
and ye lay no hold on me.
But all this was done that the scripture of the prophets might be fulfilled.
Then
all the disciples forsook him and fled." But what did they say? "We're not going to do that, Lord. We're not going to leave you." But here you have a situation where the disciples are forsaking him because, in one sense, they're in physical danger. Here is a great multitude. I don't know how many people it was. But Peter, being the kind of a man that he is, "I'm not going to deny you and I'm going to prove it." Probably those words, when we speak words, we feel in some way that we have to live up to them. And so Peter takes out his sword, he draws a sword and cuts off the ear of one of the servants. But here all, and the Lord says, "Don't do that. Don't you realize that I can call 12 legions, ask my Father to send 12 legions of angels, and what are they?" Didn't even need 12 legions of angels. All you needed was one. Didn't even need that. All Jesus had to do was blow on them. And there one, and there in another account where they fell backwards when they came to get him, they fell back. There was power in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is all power in heaven and earth. It's given into his and to him. So we had this power that he had, but yet the disciples had made this declaration, "I'm not going to leave you. We're not going to forsake you." But yet, when they're in physical danger, they realize that it is not wisdom for me to be associated with this man. So therefore, I'm going to flee. Now, I understand fully that this is before the Holy Ghost comes, had come and whatnot. But what I want us to understand is sometimes we feel like we're much stronger than what we really are. And so what the Lord wants us to understand is our strength is not in ourselves. Our strength is not in our mental resolve. Our strength is in the Lord. Our mental resolve has to be, "Lord, by your grace, I can live this life. By your grace, I can go through this. By your grace, I can have the power to withstand and not fail in the midst of this and this temptation or in the midst of whatever I'm going through. By your grace, it's not in me, Lord, it's in you." When we clearly understand that, if those disciples had clearly understood it, they wouldn't have failed here. If we clearly understand it, we won't fail in the trials and testings that the Lord sends us through. But you know, I believe that there are some times that the Lord needs to show us what we have on hand. Show us how much we don't have. Show us how much we think we've got and we really don't have. The Lord does that for our own benefit. He sends flames, the song says. He sends flames that our soul, great alone, might be spared. Do you realize that if we fail here and we thought we had it, do you realize the memory of that failure will have an effect on the next situation that I come up with? And it should have the effect that I can say, "You know what? I'm going to be more careful. I'm not going to make the same mistake."
Yeah.
So here they were in physical danger, and they fled as a result of that.
Yeah.
All right, now let's go drop down to the 67th verse. This is Jesus. Now you can read it, but for the sake of time, we're not going to. This is him brought before the high priest and whatnot, and then They spit in his face.
And they buffeted him. And others smote him
with the palms of their hands,
saying, "Prophesy unto us,
thou Christ,
who is he that smote thee?"
Now Peter sat without in the palace.
And the damsel came unto him,
saying, "Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee." He denied before them all, saying, "I know not what thou sayest."
When he was gone out into the porch,
another maid saw him
and said unto them
that were there, "This fellow also was also with Jesus of Nazareth." Yes.
And again he denied
with an oath, "I do not know the man." And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, "Surely thou art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee."
Then began he to curse and swear, saying,
I know not the man,
and
immediately the cock crew.
And Peter remembered
the word of Jesus, which saith unto him,
"Before the cock crow,
thou shalt deny me thrice." And he went out and he wept bitterly. He had forgotten about it, but here is a situation
that sometimes we may be in physical danger. There are a lot of folks that are martyrs and whatnot. To be associated with Jesus Christ meant that meant their lives. We don't have that kind of danger presented to us yet. It may happen. But the reason that the disciples forsook him in the garden was because of physical danger to their lives were in danger. Their lives were at stake. And there may come a time that our lives are at stake if we stand for what we truly believe. If we stand for the gospel. Now here is another situation that Peter, in dealing with the situation here with Peter, Peter said he's going to follow afar off. He said in his mind, I am not going to deny you. Though I die with you, I'm not going to deny you. And I believe to some degree Peter meant that because he was a strong-willed man, apparently according to his personality that we see in the Scriptures. He was very strong-willed. He'd say something and he'd try to stand by it. He wasn't that afraid of those things. But here was a situation that they were spitting on him, they were smiting him, they were despising him, they were mocking him, all these things. And Peter's association with Christ, that meant if he would associate with this man, then they would mock him, potentially, spit upon him, they would talk about it, maybe do the same things to Peter that they were doing to Jesus. So sometimes the fact that we identify with the saints of God, or with the people of God, or with Christ Himself, in some of those instances, when they're talking about them, we don't want anybody to think that we're like that, so we're going to kind of distance ourselves away from them so that they won't mock us, they won't talk about us. This is what happens here with Peter, in my mind. I don't believe that I'm taking more liberty than what's in the Scripture, how the Lord brought it to us. So he's distancing him. I don't know him. I don't want you to think bad of me like you're thinking of him. So I don't know him. And how many times have we seen people or been associated with people that don't want to associate with us because of some stand that we have, or because they don't want to, they don't believe that, maybe the way that you believe, whatever the situation. So they distance themselves from identifying with you. And here Peter did it. And Peter understood. He denied him three times. And then he remembered, oh, he told me that that was going to happen. And that rooster crowing was kind of an anchor for his memory, for him to go back and say, I failed the Lord. Yeah. And he went out and he wept bitterly. Let me tell you, there's hope. You failed the Lord, there's hope. There's a blessing even in that failure. And he went out and he wept bitterly. And I believe from that point on, Peter understood something happened to Peter, and Peter understood something that he hadn't understood before. He understood that no matter how much talking I do, no matter how strong-willed I am, there are going to be some things that I am confronted with that I need more than what Peter has. And there's going to be some areas in your life, no matter how strong-willed you are, no matter how good of a talk you talk, there's going to be more than just you. You're going to need more than that. You're going to need the Lord. All right. What most people do in identifying with people, you know, if how many times have you heard somebody that is related to somebody that's famous, and they're oftentimes telling everybody, "Oh yeah, such and such is my brother," or "That's I know so and so," because there's something to that identification. But when there's somebody that's done something that's not very good, they don't promote their association, do they? None of us do. Yeah, that's my brother and he's such and such. I know he's not a very good character, but he's such and such. All right. Let's go a little further. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. Yes. Wherefore let him that thinketh he stand,
take heed,
lest he fall. Yes.
There is
no temptation taken you,
but such as
is common to man.
But God is faithful,
who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able,
but will
with the temptation
also make
a way of escape,
that
you may be able to bear it. Now, he says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. All of us can come across a temptation that's more than what we, that's enough to make us fall. Particularly if we are overconfident.
There is a difference in being confident in God's strength, and our confidence is coming from God, that God is going to enable me to stand in this trial, than for me to put myself in a situation where I feel overconfident and ultimately I fall. The Lord doesn't want us to do that. Now, even in those kinds of places, the Lord endeavors to make a way of escape. But sometimes the way of escape is before we even get in the trial. And once we get into the trial, once we get into the place of so strong temptation, there's always a way of escape. And you know how the way of escape is to humble ourselves and say, Lord, I messed up. I shouldn't be here. Lord, have mercy on me. And you know what the Lord does in every one of those situations? The Lord opens a door and He makes a way. But sometimes it's much stronger for us. It's much harder for us to get out once we've gotten ourselves into it than if we wouldn't get ourselves into it. May the Lord help us. All right, let's go a little further here. John 15 and 5. And someone get us Philippians 4 and 13. John 15 and 5.
I am the vine.
I am the vine.
Ye are the branches.
You are the branches.
If you abide in me and I abide in you, the same bringeth forth
much fruit.
For without me, ye can do nothing.
This is how we need to see ourselves. I can't do anything. I can't preach without the Lord. Amen. You know, some of us feel so strong in our strengths and our abilities. Do you know you can't do anything without the Lord? You know, a little virus that you can't even see with the natural eye can change your whole life in just a moment. And it's just the mercy of God that you don't have it, that something doesn't happen to you, some catastrophic event. Without me, you can do nothing. I can do nothing without the Lord. Now, let's go to Philippians, the 4th chapter, 13th verse. Let's read that.
I can do all things.
This is the balance. On one hand, I can do nothing without the Lord, but I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can do anything. I can go through the trials. I can have victory in my soul. I can go through the tests of life that the Lord sends me through. I can do it through the name of Jesus Christ. If I just stand firm and true to the Lord, I can do nothing in and of myself, and without Him, I am nothing. I can do nothing. With Him, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. You believe that? The saints, let's stand on it. Let's be encouraged today. Let's be encouraged that I can go through with victory. But even the failures that I've had in the past, the failures, and I'm not talking about just some where you sin more or less every day. We don't believe in that, do we? We believe that God can give us victory, but there are some times that we put ourselves in situations that we shouldn't put ourselves in, and we fail the Lord. We fail to live up to the standard that the Lord wants. Maybe have a bad attitude. Maybe there's something that the Lord has told us to do, and we didn't do. There was one woman that I talked to this past week, and she was saying that she was telling me about how three of her friends had died in the last 3 months, and they were about her age, and she's not that old. Maybe in her mid to late 50s, early 60s, something like that. And she said she was at one place and the Lord spoke to her and told her, saying, ask this woman if something were to happen to her. She had, if something were to happen to her, who would take care of the arrangements? And talk to her about it. She said, no, she thought about it and she was squirming in her seat and she thought about it and she said, but the lady is kind of sick, and she wasn't real sick, but she was sick. She said, no, I'll wait until she gets well. Well, the next week, the lady died. So you know what? She said, and the Lord whipped her. She failed. She failed to do what the Lord told her to do, and she said, that won't happen again. She said, when the Lord tells me to do something, I'm going to do it. I'm going to say what I have to say when I have to say it, no matter if she's sick, no matter what. And the woman was a Catholic woman. And she said, and she went to the woman's funeral, and they put some white sheet over the casket and said, now that you're clothed in white and now you can enter into the kingdom. She said, no, if you weren't clothed in white before you died, before you got there, you ain't clothed in white now. And so her opportunity, her door of opportunity to speak to this woman about the Lord was when the Lord said, ask her about that. And then that would have opened, can you see how it would open up another avenue for them to discuss the things of God, for them to discuss where she's going, whether or not she's ready to meet the Lord. But she failed the Lord. And these are her words. And so she don't have another opportunity, but she said, you know what? That changed me. That motivates me. She's telling me this several months later. That motivates me never to let that happen again. And I believe in the situation that we come in contact with,
the failures that we have. Maybe the Lord told us to say something. We hesitated for a moment. We didn't do those kinds of things. And then we see the end result where something happens, where maybe someone died. And if only I had spoken to them, Lord, that won't happen again.
Amen.
All right?
You can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. All right, let's go to Judges, the 16th chapter. I want to read a little bit there. 4th verse, let's start there.
Judges 16
and 4.
And it came to pass.
Yes.
Afterward.
Yes.
That he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek.
Yes.
Whose name was Delilah.
Yes. This is talking about Samson. You know the story.
The lords of the Philistines
came up unto her and said unto her,
entice
him,
and see where
in his great strength lies.
And by what
means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him.
And we will
give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver.
And Delilah said to Samson,
all right, now I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. All right, here is Samson in a situation, and I want us to say some of the choices that we make set us up for failures. Some of the choices, if Samson had never done this and never gone into this harlot, then he wouldn't have been in the position and that he's in right now. All right, so he loved a woman. He went in and see it. Now tell me, I pray thee,
wherein
thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict. Now, subtlety here? There's no subtlety here. How can we bind you and afflict you? Where is your great strength, and what can we do to take it away, is what she's saying. How can I sap and soup, pull away the strength that you have and all the forces that you're doing? But not, the devil sometimes is not very subtle about what he's doing. All right, and read.
And Samson said unto her,
if they bind me with 7 grains, with that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man.
Then
the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7
green withs,
yes,
and not been dried,
and she bound them with them.
Now there were many,
they were lying, yes.
She
said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson.
And
he brake the withs as a thread of tow, and is broken as a touch of the fire. So his strength was not known.
Delilah
said unto Samson,
behold,
thou hast mocked me, and you told me lies.
Now
tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. Now, let me tell you something. You do not play with the devil. This is not the first time that Samson had a situation with a woman where a woman was trying to get some information out of him. You go back to the first couple of chapters and we find out his wife that he married with this Philistine. He told her the riddle that he wasn't supposed to tell her. All right? So Samson had a weakness. Now let me tell you, all of us have weaknesses. There's not a person here that doesn't have a weakness that if you don't guard it, that the devil can't take advantage of you.
Amen.
He can destroy you. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Now here is Samson playing with the devil, knows exactly what the devil wants to do. Every person that plays with sin, every person that decides in their mind, I'm not ready to be saved yet, they're playing with the devil. And every saint of God that goes and puts themselves in positions that they don't need to be in, run away from it. It doesn't mean that I'm a weak man. If you know that this is your weakness, don't be around women. Don't be around your Delilah. Samson should have ran as far away from her as he possibly could, but he felt like he could handle it, didn't he? Oh, if you do this, and what did he do? He did it several times. And he started getting closer and closer. If you braid my hair and all that. And every time he knew what she was doing. And then she wore down on him. Let me tell you, what the devil will come out and he'll get all close to you and say, oh, you lied to me and you mocked me. But she's trying to kill you. She's trying to take your strength away. Why are you letting her do? Why are you even talking to her?
Amen.
Samson, you're setting yourself up for a failure.
Yes.
By the choices that we make. I make choices. You make choices. What is your weakness?
Amen, Lord.
Do you play around with it?
Lord, help us, Lord.
Do you get really close to the edge and you say, well, I'm not going to go there, but if I do this, I'll have a little fun with you, Delilah. You can't have fun with Delilah. If you know that she's there to bring you down, there are enemies here. Now, for the sake of time, let's drop down a little further. Let's go to the 12th verse.
Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith and said,
that's not dropping down.
Just keep reading.
Delilah therefore took new ropes and yes. bound him therewith and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson.
Yes.
There were liers in wait abiding in the chamber, and he brake them off from his arms like a thread. Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me
that wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her. Now he's getting closer. He's getting closer. If you take these, weavest my seven locks with my head with the web. She fastened it with the pin. Said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee. How many times? And Philistines be upon thee, Samson? He awaked out of sleep. He was asleep, y'all. He was not paying attention spiritually. This is how failures come. We're not paying attention spiritually. All right, read. And he went away.
And she said unto him,
yes.
How canst thou say I love thee?
Oh, what a woman can do to a man. It's true. Oh, how can you tell me you love me? Now, what was she doing? Wait, let's turn this on. Delilah, what you doing? You're saying that Samson doesn't love you, and you're up here trying to get the man, get the Philistines to kill him. And you're talking about, you're saying you don't, but that's his weakness. Samson's weakness was women. All right? So,
how
can you say you love me when your heart is not with me? How many women have told men that over the course of the ages? Your heart is not with me. Thou hast mocked me these three times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth.
And it came to pass
when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed to death, he told her all his heart. Now let's see what she does. And said unto her,
there has
not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto the Lord God my mother's womb, if I be shaven. Now, if he hadn't have told her about weaving the seven locks in his hair, he should have stopped there. He shouldn't have even gone that far. Now she's playing with his hair. She's playing with his strength. All right? And read.
If I be shaven,
then my strength will go from me.
I shall become weak
and be like any other man.
And when Delilah saw
that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords
of Philistine,
saying,
come up
this once,
for he has shown me.
She knew. A woman can know. He's shown me all his heart. This is it. He was playing with me at first, but I got it this time. All right?
Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and
yes.
brought money in their hands.
Brought money. Give me the money before I tell you. Give me the money. She was doing it for money. All right, read.
And she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man. She caused him to shave off seven locks of his head. And she began to afflict him.
And his strength went from him. All right. He failed. You know why he failed? Because he thought he was stronger than what he was. Scripture says, he that thinketh he stand, take heed lest he fall. Samson thought he was stronger than what he really was. And as a result of that, that's what took his strength away, because he felt that he could just get up. Scripture says, as you go on down, he can get up and do like what he shake himself off like another man. But now he realized God had left him because of him playing. He'd failed the Lord. All right? But here's the blessing in it. Let's drop down to 27. Let's go.
No.
Where did they put his eyes out? Okay, let's go to 21. Yeah, let's read that.
20 says,
okay, let's read 20 and 21, please.
And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson.
Yes.
And he awoke out of his sleep
and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him.
But the Philistines
took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with feathers of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. So they put out his eyes. It's the first thing that they did. They blinded him. And you know, sometimes when the enemy, one of the first things that the enemy wants to do is blind us after a failure. We fail the Lord and he wants to blind us and say, you know, there's no way back. You can't get back from where you are. Let me tell you, there's always a way back. You know where the way is? Jesus is the way. Yes. Fall on the mercy of God. Beg the Lord, Lord, I failed you. I have not done what you told me to do. I've set myself up for failure. And the reason I failed is because I did not... I knew what I was doing when I did it, but I didn't know the extent that I was doing it. This man failed the Lord. All right? And I'll drop down to the 27th verse. Here's the blessing, even in that failure.
Now the house was full of men and women.
And all the lords of the Philistines were there.
And there were upon the roof
about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport.
And Samson called unto the Lord.
And said, O Lord God,
remember me,
I pray thee.
And strengthen me, I pray thee,
only this one, O God,
that I may
at once avenge, be avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes.
And Samson
took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood,
on
which it was borne up,
of
one with his right,
other with his left.
Samson said, let me die with the Philistines.
And he bowed himself
with all his might.
And the house fell
upon the Lords
and upon
all the people that were therein.
So the dead
which he slew in his death
were more than they which he slew
in his life. So he was a man that the Lord used. And if you go back into Hebrews, I believe the catalog, it speaks about Samson and Samson's fate, doesn't it? There is redemption after a failure. The Lord will take you back. The Lord will take care of you even after a failure. All right, let's go a little further here. We're almost done. Appreciate your patience here. Let's go to Galatians 1, verse 13. Before we get to that, I want to say this too. Some of the things that I've learned over the years as pastoring and counseling people, some of the things that I've learned with people is that people hold their failures and their mistakes that they made in a different light than they hold other people's mistakes and failures. Most of the time we compare ourselves by ourselves and we say, you know what, I might have done this, but at least I didn't do that. At least I'm not as bad as something. Your failures are just as bad as anybody else. And you know what we have to do? We have to forgive others. If Jesus will forgive them, we have to forgive them too. And not only do we have to forgive other people, we have to forgive ourselves. Sometimes we come to places that the hardest thing for us to get over is a great failure that we've made. Maybe, and one of the things that I've learned that helps us to forgive ourselves is that we release other people as well. Don't hold other people. Lord, I'm putting that in your hands. What they've done, what they've said, I forgive them. And I'm praying that you forgive them as well. And I want to forgive myself for anything that I've done that I should not, a failure that I had. Do you suppose that Samson or Peter ever thought about that before, what they did? Do you suppose here is a situation with Paul? We've realized that he persecuted the church. He killed saints, literally, put them in prison. He was a terrible man. But when he saw the light and it was illuminated in his understanding that these are the people of God. He said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. He didn't know who Jesus was. He had never met Jesus, but he had persecuted the body of Christ, thereby persecuting Christ. Alright? So he had failed in recognizing who Jesus was. He had failed in recognizing the saints of God. And rather than joining with them at that time, he was killing them. But let me tell you what I believe happened. I believe that Paul was a completely different man as a result of having killed those saints where he had never done that before. All right, here's the situation. What I want to read here is in Galatians 1:13. If someone get us 1 Corinthians 15 and 9.
1:13.
Yes. You heard of my conversation in time past.
In
the Jews' religion.
How that beyond measure.
I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. I wonder if that motivated him a little bit. That he realized that I failed to recognize God's
gracious dealings. I failed to do that. I'll never let that happen again. And you know what? In all this little tinge of regret, it's what I hear in this scripture. You know what? How beyond measure I persecuted the church. I regret that, he's saying.
Yes.
Beyond measure, I persecuted the church of God. And I didn't realize what I was doing at that particular time. But I realize it now. And I realize that it was not a good thing that I did. And this is what is driving me to do to go to the next step and the next level. I won't have that disappointment. Lord, I'll try to make up for everything that I did. And do you know, I believe that that's sometimes a blessing in the failures that we have is because those failures, those disappointments, the disgust that we have with ourselves become the motivating factor to say, you know what, it won't happen again. It won't happen again. Lord, by your grace, I'm going to go forward. I'm going to be what you want me to be. I'm going to die living. I'm going to die. I'm going to live and I'm going to die being what you want me to be. And that's the motivating, the tinge in the back of my mind is because I had that failure. I persecuted the church of God and I wasted it beyond measure. It was just ridiculous what I did and I so regret that. I remember Stephen and I saw him as I was holding it. I saw him look up toward heaven. Stephen, I was not worthy to do that. And I persecuted what now I embrace. Be careful what you say about the church. Even if it seems like it's falling apart. Even if it seems like it's not what it ought to be. Be careful. Don't persecute it. Don't go around talking about what the saints do. And the saints are endeavoring to live to everything that they know and understand. Amen. And be what the Lord wants them to be. Read the other scripture. 1 Corinthians 15:9.
For I am the least.
I am the least. I'm the least of the apostles. He didn't even feel. Here's that tinge of regret. And I believe it was a motivating factor for Paul in his ministry. I am the least of the apostles. I'm not even meet to be called an apostle. Why? I'm not even meet to be called an apostle because I'm such a humble man. Because I realize my all that I've done and I realize that I'm really nothing in the Lord. No, I'm not meet to be called an apostle because of what I did in the past. That regret, that disgust, it kept coming up and up and up throughout his ministry. And he doesn't always say it, but he gives us just a hint that I really regret what I did. And you know what? That's motivating me to do the work of God. Now I believe, some of you history buffs, I'm really not a history buff, but Peter, wasn't he crucified upside down because he felt like it wasn't worthy to be in the same position that Jesus was in? You know why? He denied him 3 times. And then all the things that Peter did, I believe that Peter, it was a different, I believe it helped mold Peter's character. Peter was very impetuous. He was one that just would do things off the spur of the moment. He still was like that, but I believe after he denied the Lord, he calmed down. There was something about that failure that molded his character and made him a different man. And he remembered those things. So in the same way, what I want to say to you and what I want to say to all of us today, the Lord is with you. There is a blessing in whatever failure that you've had in your life. Don't stay down. Let's read another scripture for closing. Let's read Proverbs, the 24th chapter, 16th verse. Proverbs 24, verse 16. Have it read it for us.
For just man falls 7 times.
Just man falls 7 times.
And rises up again.
He rises up again.
All
right, 7 times. A just man falls 7 times, he rises up again. Keep fighting. Keep pressing. Keep going forward in the name of the Lord. Press on and let thy failings a blessing to thee prove. You've got to let it happen. Don't fold up and say, you know what, I've done so terrible that God is not... And the devil does this to some folks. God doesn't even want me anymore. No, you keep fighting. You keep standing. You keep going forward in the name of the Lord. And the Lord will help you realize that your strength is not in yourself. Your strength is not in your self-will or your self-resolve. Your strength is in your resolve to hold on to the Lord. Your strength is in the Lord Himself. And listen, if you've fallen down, get back up. You're a failure. You're a true failure, utter failure, if you fall down and stay down. Let me tell you, you got to make it to heaven. Failure to make it to heaven is not an option. Alright, if it is not an option, then what that means is every choice that I make in life, it means that those choices must converge to make the big goal that I have is to make it to heaven, and I'm going to get there. You know what? I believe I'll make it. I believe I will make it to heaven. And listen, I believe you will too if you keep the faith and you realize that there is a blessing in whatever failure that you've gone through. Whatever disappointments, whatever things that disgust you, allow those things to be the impetus that drives you forward and says, Lord, I'll never let that happen to me again.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I've gone through some things and I'm going to let this thing that seems to have come to harm me, I'm going to let it be the motivation for me doing more for the work of the Lord. I look at some of the failures that people see. And do you know what I believe? I believe that those become the motivating factor. It says, you know what? I'm not going to fail. I'm not going to be a failure. And those are the things that I believe keeps us going. You find out that there are many people, I believe that Abraham Lincoln ran for president a few times. Or he failed on something else. I don't know what he failed on. He had a lot of failures. But he had one win that we remember, didn't he? And when you look at a lot of folks, millionaires, how many times did they file for bankruptcy? How many times Donald Trump did file for bankruptcy? But he's supposed to be a success, but he's failed many times. But I'm looking at it in a spiritual light. If you knew the history of some of the solid, settled saints, you see that in there that forms their character is a series of failures. They didn't quite live up to what they felt like the Lord wanted to. And that was what motivated them, catapulted them to where they are today. Let your failings a blessing to you prove. Pray for me.